Hi there.
You're about to enjoy a recording from a joint service in North Bushy between Wellspring Church and Holy Trinity.
We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
If you were here last week, you will know that we started a series on worship. And we started by looking at the heart of worship, the story of Moses, and as Moses encounters God, and maybe for the first time, certainly for the first time in a while, he can't help but turn his face away because God is so holy. And the story of Moses is a remarkable one, isn't it? Because some of you will know the story that when he was born, his parents, as it says in Hebrews 11, saw that he was no ordinary child. And to protect him, they sent him away. They put him in a basket in a river, and he ended up floating down the Nile to the Egyptian palace. And he grew up as a prince, born as an Israelite and raised in an Egyptian family. But of course, we know the story that he ended up in a place where he empathized with the Israelites. And he murdered an Egyptian and angered the Egyptian pharaoh and was therefore had to run away, had to go. He was on his own, and he went into the wilderness for 40 years and made his own life as a shepherd, and he had a family, and he kind of just thought that was it. That's what he was going to do. That's Moses' past, and we know Moses' future as well. He went on to lead the Israelites out of slavery into a place of freedom. He went on to be a miracle worker, and most astonishingly of all, to be the one who parted the Red Sea, because God was using him. And in that place, as he parted the Red Sea, it must have been like, oh, me and God, we got this. And we go back to the original story of when God called him and think it wasn't like that at all. And I'm going to pick up from where we left off last week and in Exodus 3. And I'm just going to take it a few verses at a time. So if you've got it, it should come up on the screen. I'm reading from Exodus 3. And we'll take it to verse 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And I just want to stop there and just look at that for a little bit, because we can see that there are a few things in this passage, and there are a couple of things that God does, and there are a couple of things that Moses does. And the first thing that God does is he revealed himself to Moses. It was God who made the first move. And this is remarkable. Remember, Moses has been on the run, and he's been on the run because he's a murderer. He's done wrong. He thinks that he cannot go anywhere near God. And God is so gracious and so loving that he decides to reveal himself to Moses. Wow, what a story. Wherever we've come from, if we're on the run, even if we're turning away from God and his people, God still makes the first move to us. Ultimately, in the person of Jesus, God made the first move for our salvation and brings us back into a relationship with him. And God made the first move and appeared and revealed himself to Moses. Wow, what a story. Such grace in this burning bush. And he calls him by name, Moses, Moses. And what's remarkable is this is in his place of work. Now, I don't know whether you've ever thought about being a shepherd in the desert. It doesn't sound like a fun occupation. Think about it. There's nothing but sand and sand and sheep. That's it. Nothing else. And you've got to spend your life trying to find water. And it's yellow and brown and yellow and brown. and then the white from the sheep. That's it. It's boring. There's nothing to it. It must be mind-numbing. And remember, Moses was raised in a family that thought that he was no ordinary child. He had this destiny. And I don't know whether you've ever felt like this. There's so much more to life, but I'm stuck here. Moses in the wilderness, far away from his ultimate calling, for 40 years. He was waiting. Maybe he didn't know what he was waiting for. And God appears to him in his place of work. I don't know what your work is like, whether you're working for being paid or whether you're at home, whatever it is, whatever you do day to day, whether it's boring or not, whether it's exciting and life-giving, whatever it is, God can still appear. God still reveals himself. God still loves to come closer and appear to us and show us who he is. And remarkably, Moses responds to the call. Now, I know this sounds obvious. You see a bush that is burning that isn't burning, if you like, and you think, well, I'll go and have a look at it. But actually, think about it. He's in the desert. There must have been moments where it's, oh, am I imagining this? Or, you know, I've got better things to do. I'm focused on the task. I've got this sheep to look after, and I've got to do this. I've got to go and find water. I'll leave the burning bush. It's not my problem. I wonder if we've ever felt like that, where you place yourself in Moses' shoes and you think, oh, I've got all these things to do and there's something over there. It might be God, but I've got something to do. When I was at uni, I had a great time at uni, probably too good a time. And I spent a lot of time and money on things that I probably shouldn't have done. And I went there trying to do my best for God, trying to meet with people, try and actually bring God into that place. But as it happened, I found that really, really difficult. And I remember praying to God after about a year of being at uni. I was just like, God, show up. Help me here. I'm struggling to do what you want me to do. And he showed me something. On my first day at uni, the second person I spoke to was one of my flatmates who was going to live with me for a year. And basically, the first conversation went, it was the Saturday that we moved in, and she said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Do you want to come? I was like, yeah, that's good. I'm with you there. Let's go. And then God showed me another conversation. I moved into my physio work. So within a week, we started lectures and we were introduced to our personal tutors. And I met my personal tutor and there was one other person in my group. And he said, oh, I'm going to church on Sunday. Do you want to come? Yeah, I'm with you there. And then the third thing, the other thing that I got majorly involved with, certainly in the first year, was with running. And the first person I spoke to in the running group, we got talking, and after a bit, she said, I'm going to church on Sunday. Do you want to come? They were my burning bush moments. God was trying to say something to me, and I missed it. And what he was saying was, don't isolate yourself. I've placed these people in your lives who can help and be with you. And I had missed it, because I was too focused on what was happening around me. Because I was too self-involved. And when finally I realized, it's like, oh God, you were speaking the whole time. You were with me the whole time. You were putting people in places to help me, and I'd missed it. I'd missed the call, if you like. I'd missed the burning bush because of everything else that was going on around me. And I wonder what the burning bushes are in your lives, the ones where God is trying to speak. And the reason that God is trying to speak is because he wants intimacy with us. He wants a deep relationship, a meaningful relationship, a relationship that enables us to know him and him to know us. And in that moment when I realized that God had placed all those people in my, I was like, wow, I'd missed that burning bush and you're still there with me. He wanted me to draw closer to him. And as I realized that, and I drew closer to him, I realized his heart for me. That heart for that relationship. And it helped change that situation, and certainly the way that I saw the situation. God revealed himself to Moses. How's he revealing himself to us? And so we continue with the story from verse 5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And I spoke a little bit about this last week, about how God is a holy God. It changed the way Moses was reacting. But it started with intimacy. If you think about what Moses was going on to, he was going on to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He was leading them to freedom. He was going to these great things. He was going on to do one of the greatest jobs that there ever was. And how did it start? It started with him bowed down before God in worship. And whatever we're called to, whatever God is asking us to do, he wants intimacy with us. He wants us to start with that place of worship so that we can know him, we can know his heart. And as we know that, we can then be sent out to do his work. But it starts with bowing down, taking our sandals off, and hearing his voice. You see, Moses chose to climb the mountain. The mountain, in biblical terms, is like that place of revelation, that place of absolute glory, of intimacy, of worship with God. We see that all through the Bible. And there's the story where Jesus is transfigured, where Jesus is changed before some of the disciples. And Peter says, we should not leave this place because this is a good place. This is where God is. This is where we should worship. And of course, that's right. It's great to come up the mountain. And Moses chose to do it. He could have ignored it. I'm too busy looking after sheep. But God wants us to climb the mountain with him, to draw closer to him, to worship him. He wants us to hear his voice. And he wants us to bow before him. Whatever we're being asked to do, however big or however small, God is asking us to start with worship. And then we continue from verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. You see, God shares his heart with Moses. He shares his heart, and it is that he sees the misery of the Israelites. He sees what they're going through. He sees the slave drivers. He sees that they're in a place of slavery, and they're not where they're supposed to be. And God sees it. That's his heart. He's with us in that moment. And not only that, he comes down to rescue them, to restore them to what they always were. And that was God's people in freedom, living in a land of milk and honey. That's completely free of love, of restoration, of relationship with God. And this intimacy with God that starts with worship is the place where God can share his heart. One of my favorite moments every day, and actually is particularly on a Sunday when I come to church first, and then my kids come into this room, and when they see me, it's Daddy! And they run up to me and I pick them up. It's such a joyful moment. I absolutely love it. They run towards me and I give them that hug. And I'm able to share some of my heart for them, but just saying, oh, I've missed you. I've only seen you an hour ago, but I've missed you because I love you. I want to spend time with you. You're my children. I love it. And it's that sense that God wants to share his heart with Moses here. These are my children. I love them. And I want to spend time with them. That's the kind of intimacy that God is sharing here. He wants to share his heart, what he loves, what he wants, because Moses came in, because God was sharing his heart. See, there was a partnership there. God wanted to share his heart, and Moses stepped into that place to hear the call. And are we in that place of intimacy? Are we in that place where we long to be in his presence so that we can hear God's heart and know him better and see what he wants from us? And then from verse 11, we continue. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" And you see, Moses questioned God. Now, if you think about it, when Moses is in that place, God is saying, "I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am faithful." That's what he's saying. "I have been with them, and I'm true to my promises. I am a great God." You kind of expect God to say, "And I'm going to rescue Egypt, the Israelites out of Egypt," which of course he does. And you think, "Great God, go do it." And what does he say? "I am sending you." "Sorry, what? I thought you were doing it, God." And so Moses questions God. And in that place of intimacy and relationship with God, it's okay to question him. It's okay to ask him, "Why?" It's okay to say, "What, really?" It's okay to be real and authentic with God. We don't need to pretend that we've got it all sorted. It's okay to be in that place and say, "God, I'm not sure what you're doing here." Because God just wants you to be real, to be you with him. And ultimately, it's God who's going to do the work anyway. He's choosing to partner with us. He's choosing to be in partnership. It's remarkable. God, the God of Abraham, the creator, the sustainer, the healer, the provider, the savior, chooses to use us, to partner with us. In that place of intimacy, Moses felt inadequate. He felt like he couldn't do it. And God says, "I am." It's a really funny little phrase, isn't it? Because Moses had been in a place where he tried to do things on his own. He'd seen the misery of the Israelites, and he killed an Egyptian. He tried to take it into his own hands. And what happened? He ended up being on the run, estranged from his family, estranged from the Pharaoh, estranged from all that he'd known. And he's like, "God, I've tried this on my own. It doesn't work. How are you going to do it?" And more than that, we see the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. Surely the Egyptian gods are therefore stronger than you, are bigger than you, are able to take you and beat you down, because I can't see a way out here. And God says, "I am." In other words, where you are not, I am. Where you can't, he can. Where you and your idols and the Egyptian gods even, where you are not, I am. And he also says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And what he's saying is, "You don't know everything about me yet, but walk with me. Go with me. Go where I'm sending you, and I will show you who I am. I will show you what to do. I will show you that I'm all this, and I'm bigger and better and greater than all those gods. Where you are not, I am." An intimacy with God, this deep, meaningful relationship with God, enables us to discover who he is and walk with him day by day. And that's what he wants for us. And he wants us to come into his presence and to know him. And so just three thoughts about how we can practically live this out. Three questions, really. First one is, are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to those burning bushes? Are we in that place where our eyes are open to what God might be trying to say to us? Because God is speaking. He loves to speak to us. He loves to reveal himself to us. And are we paying attention, whether we're surrounded by that kind of boring job or that thing that it's like, that's so far away from where I feel I should be? Or whether things are going really, really well? Are we paying attention to what God is saying and to what he's trying to reveal to us? Because he is speaking. And he longs to meet with us. And secondly, do we climb the mountain? Do we look for that place of worship? Do we look for that place of intimacy and love of God? The mountain is that place where God is. And the thing is, we have this remarkable thing, this change that Moses didn't have, because God says, I will be with you, which of course is true, and God is with us, but it's changed because of Jesus, because of his death, because of his resurrection. God is not only with us, he is inside of us through his spirit now. He has gone from being with us to in us. And so wherever we go, we can come into his presence. Wherever we are, we can move closer to him, because he is always in us if we accept him into our lives. We can climb up the mountain. And Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 6, about prayer. He says, when you pray, go into a locked room. Lock the door. In other words, leave the world behind and come into his presence. And do we climb that mountain regularly? Do we come into his presence? And Joe preached a message a few weeks ago, which was absolutely right. It doesn't have to be the same thing all the time. It doesn't have to be this sense of quiet time all the time. And God is asking us to come into his presence wherever we are. And sometimes that means locking the door and leaving the world behind. Sometimes that means coming before a gathering or in a gathering like this and praising and worshiping him together, climbing up the mountain together, because we can see God together and know what his heart is for us and become intimate with him. Do we climb that mountain, both individually and together? Are we after him? And finally, will we walk with God in the valley? So if the mountain is where God is, this kind of sense of, oh, this feels so good. It feels so good to come into his presence. I never want to leave it. And we'll never apologize for spending time in extended worship whenever we gather, because we want to know him and come before him and tell him how great he is. And then when he sends us out, back down the mountain, into the valley, will we walk with him? Will we listen to him? Will we go where he's sending us? And you know, together, I believe that's what we're doing. I believe we come together to climb the mountain. And where he sends us together, we're journeying with him in order to do all that he's called us to, both in this community, in the communities around us, in our workplaces, in our families. And we ask God, as we step down the mountain into the valley, will you go with me? Because if you're not with me, I can't go on. And Moses literally says that later on. He comes to this place of intimacy with God. If you don't go with us, God, we are not moving. We are staying here. And Moses went on to be that miracle worker, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt. Of course, it was God who did the work. But Moses discovered what it meant to be intimate with God. And he heard his voice and he obeyed. Will we choose that this week? Will we choose to move into his presence and to know him better? So we're going to begin to respond. I'm going to pray and then hand over to Barbie. And let's choose again to move into his presence and hear his voice. Father God, I thank you that you love us. Your heart for us is a relationship with us. That you desire for us to step into your presence. And so we willingly, gladly do that now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And we ask for you to move and help us to become more intimate, to have a deeper relationship with you now. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.